Welcome to The Harvest, Atlanta's home for information and inspiration for living your season of life with grace. Brought to you by Senior Provisions, your resource for true solutions in senior care. From life planning to home care to assisted living, Senior Provisions is your trusted resource in navigating the harvest season of your life. Now, here's your hosts, Hans and Amy.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Harvest. We're so glad you're able to join us today, and we hope and pray that this program honors our Lord by blessing you with information and inspiration. I am Hans, and I have the pleasure of being seated next to my bride, Amy.
Good morning, everyone. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful morning. Fall has finally come to Atlanta, and we are
finally.
We're so happy to have some break in the hot weather. And it'll probably last for 2 days, and it'll be hot again. Well, I'm just very glad to have the weather this morning.
Well, I'm glad you're glad.
Well, okay, the other thing I'm very glad for is Senior Provisions, who is our host and sponsor of The Harvest. And Senior Provisions is a family-owned, faith-based senior care placement agency. Advisors will guide families personally through all of their senior care options, and their services is no cost at all to families. And you get a trusted resource to help you on your senior care journey. So thank you, Senior Provisions.
Well, speaking of important things to move on to besides the weather, meteorologists, but we've got other things to talk about today. We've been in a series of shows highlighting our homebound ministry training program that is called Bringing the Harvest Home. Last week, we had a great program talking about affirming faith and how to handle God's word and the gospel with the ministry of elders in our community. And this week we're continuing that series, and we're talking about the role of the caregiver and how they are uniquely positioned to minister to those older adults that they're caring for. We have a special guest today, Angie Vineyard. She is a caregiver for her father, and she also blesses us with her observations, insights, and lessons in caregiving through her blog about faith. And we're so glad to have you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Angie.
Good morning.
I welcomed you this morning with a huge hug. Yeah. So I'm glad you safely came down to the studios today.
Yes, I am too.
Well, I particularly have such a heart for caregivers because, you know, we talk to them day in and day out. And it's everything from, you know, caregivers that are angry and frustrated with, the way services are provided or the cost of care or the lack of support that they're feeling. Or really, I have ministered to caregivers on the phone through tears and just absolute angst.
And isolation and, you know, lack of capacity. The biggest thing we talk about is ordained rest. And I know that's going to be a topic we cover today.
Absolutely. I mean, such a challenge that an individual is taking on to honor their mother and their father, to honor their loved ones. And we always begin with scripture that I always go to when I'm thinking of caregiving, particularly when we're talking about women caregivers. And that is out of Ruth. And so I want to read Ruth 1:16. Ruth said, "Please do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. From where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." And, you know, when you think of that scripture, sometimes you think of, that's a really nice sentiment. You know, hey, mother-in-law, wherever you're going to go, I'm going to go. But what she really was saying is, I'm going to leave where I was born. I'm going to leave my family, my friends, and I'm going to go to a strange country. And where you live, I'm going to live. And your people who are strangers to me, I'm going to make them my people. And I'm going to give up all of the things that are familiar to me and even to the gods that they followed. That she's now committing herself to follow on a new path and trusting a new God to her. And so when you think about it that way, it's not just a sweet little sentiment, but this was I'm going to stay with you. And I think that this is a great message to share for caregivers to know that God is saying, I'm going to stay with you on this new path.
Exactly.
And I think it could be well paired with Peter and Jesus in the boat and stepping out of the boat. I mean, that's what this message is about, is I'm going to leave all that I know behind and I'm going to do this.
So, which leads me to my first question for you. What was your step out of the boat? Tell us about your story.
Well, I was raised in Roanoke, Virginia. So please keep those people in your prayers as they are overcoming the floodwaters. And my family and I moved down here to Georgia. I'm blessed to have Christian parents, and I have two sisters. And I went to school at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, and I got a bachelor's in English literature. My passion is writing and helping people. I like to encourage people. And so what happened in my situation was in 2004, my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And that changed everything for our family. And he was doing great for a few years. Every time you see someone with Alzheimer's, you only see one person with Alzheimer's because every situation is different. What might happen to one person might be completely different than what happens to another. So my father has had this horrible disease for 14 years. But about seven or eight years ago, I was living in the Washington, D.C. area, working for nonprofits, and I would only be able to come visit my family once or twice a year. And one of those times that I came to visit, it became extremely clear to me that my parents had reached the point where they needed someone to live with them. They didn't need home health care. They didn't need assisted living. They needed someone to live with them and help them through the day to day. And so I prayed about it, and I felt very strongly that God was calling me to this. And sometimes people ask me, well, wasn't that a hard decision for you to make? And I don't want to come off sounding like a super Christian, but it wasn't a hard decision to make, because years earlier, I had made the very, very hard decision to do whatever God wanted me to do. There's a difference in making Jesus your Savior and your Lord. And I made him my Savior when I was a small child, but I didn't make him my Lord until I was a teenager.
Wow.
So when God called me to do this, I feel strongly that when God calls you to do something, he gives you the grace to do it.
Amen.
And so he gave me the grace. So a little over seven years ago, I left my life, my church, my friends, my career. I left everything in Washington, D.C., and I moved back to Georgia. I moved in with my parents and had an amazing learning curve.
I can imagine.
Because as crazy as things are in Washington, D.C., they're just as crazy in the life of a caregiver.
Especially caregiving for Alzheimer's every day,
yes,
like you said, is kind of a new, different day.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, and that's such an encouragement. You know, we have so many caregivers that are having this stage of their life. You know, they had planned retirement. They had planned trips. They had planned. And in fact, I sent a little text today to a fellow sister in Christ, and I said, and she's beginning a very hard road today in battling cancer. And I said, to every single one of your days is written, even today. And God is with you today. He's with us on the good days and the good seasons, and he's with us through the tough seasons.
Exactly.
And I love how you said that, you know, Jesus is our Savior, but making him the Lord of our life is a whole nother thing. And so, yes, maybe that trip to Europe is not now the plan that God has for you. And I find a lot of times when people struggle, they're struggling because against what they wanted is not happening now. And mm-hmm. they have to kind of come to a place of finding peace about it.
Well, it's a challenge of having both hands on the plow. I mean, it's a very powerful metaphor of, you know, you accepting this calling and you trusting in God that he's going to equip you, give you the grace, the understanding and the wherewithal to learn how to do that. That only happens when you've made him your Lord. It happens best, I'll say, is probably a better way of putting it.
Well, in our society, we don't tend to honor the elderly. When you go to a kindergarten class and you ask children, what do you want to be when you grow up? You'll hear nurse, doctor, fireman, policeman. No child ever says, I want to be a caregiver. Mm-hmm. We don't teach our children how to be caregivers. Yet the Asian population, they do honor the elderly. Mm-hmm. And they take care of their parents and their grandparents until their life here is over.
Mm. And as well as the Hispanic culture as well. Bosnian and Romanian cultures, and there's just a culture of caregiving. One of them, and you might have seen this out on social media, but one of the most touching videos I have ever seen is this young 6 or 7 year old, barefooted, ragged clothes, and he's sitting before his grandmother, who's probably well over, you know, 80, 90 years old, and obviously has some cognitive impairment. And he's feeding her yogurt. Do you know this video? Precious, precious. At that young age, he knows, hey, I need to take care of my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have another topic for another show, mm-hmm. is cultural differences, too. Well, I'm so happy to have you here. And I want to kind of get, when we come back from break, I want to talk more about some of the real specific lessons that you've been learning and writing about in your blog. Some of them very funny, some of them very touching, and some of them a wonderful, beautiful combination of both. And you have such a gift, and you're a gift to us today.
Thank you.
So thank you. We'll be right back.
My dad grew up during the Depression, served his country, worked hard, and always took care of us. Now he needs care, and I can't do it alone. I made the mistake of looking online for help. Suddenly, my inbox was full and my phone was ringing off the hook with salespeople. I even spoke with a nice young girl who clearly knew as little about senior care as I did. She was already setting up tours to see facilities before she knew anything about my dad. To make things worse, his private information was shared with everyone. After hearing my nightmare, a neighbor told me to call Senior Provisions.
Senior Provisions believes that you and your dad deserve better. Our experienced advisors will spend the time to understand your needs and provide true solutions while protecting your privacy. Now that is true advocacy. We are Senior Provisions, helping Georgia families find senior care. This is too important to trust to just anyone. Call us today, 888-979-TRUE. 888-979-8783.
Welcome back to The Harvest, everyone. We're so glad you're able to listen. We are having a great topic of the conversation with a great guest today. We're talking about caregiving. And to show our level of incompetence, whenever we have a guest, the time between breaks, we kind of amplify or make more use of than the time would presume, but we have the greatest conversations that never get recorded. And we just had a great time of fellowship and shared ministry, and none of that with our audience.
Maybe we should keep the mics on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking we should do, especially when we have guests. You don't want to hear Hans and I during break, but no. When we have a guest in, it's great. Yeah. And it's just that shared unity of spirit. It truly is. We've been talking with Angie Vineyard, who's not only a full-time caregiver of her parents, supporting her mom and her dad in their journey with the disease of Alzheimer's, but also has a great blog called About Face, and really speaks to that kind of caregiving experience, speaks and is intended to be an encouragement. I wanted to share a few statistics. If you're a pastor and you're listening, when you look out on Sunday morning across your flock I want you to remember that some of these statistics, because they're sitting in the pews. And if they're not sitting in their pew, they're probably at home dealing with caregiving and not able to get everything together to get to church that Sunday. But I know you go out and visit them. But an estimated 66% of caregivers are female. We speak to a lot of daughters and a lot of daughter-in-laws. Average age of the caregiver is around 48, which is the prime of life, prime of careers, prime of parenting. A third of the caregivers are in poor health themselves. One in five actually live in their caregiver's home. And they spend, on average, and I think this is a little low and probably a little misrepresented, about 20 to 30 hours per week providing care. Now, we kind of talked about that before we even started the show. Are you a part-time? Are you a full-time caregiver?
Hans, I nixed that.
Yeah, Hans nixed it, and he said, you are a caregiver. Mm-hmm. And if you're sleeping with one eye open.
I know no caregiver that gets to punch in at a certain time and punch out, regardless of whether it's, you know, average is 3 hours a day to 12 hours or more. It's caregiving.
Well, and I will say, too, just knowing, having been in assisted living and working with home care companies, caregivers, good, great, amazingly called caregivers out there that are professionals, they are thinking about their seniors night and day. Mm-hmm. They may leave their shift, but they're thinking about them. They're wondering how they're doing. They're wondering if they, you know, got through the night okay.
Or they're in the season two of when they leave their job. We just came across a gentleman a few weeks ago helping my mom, and well, a month ago helping my mom. And when he wasn't caregiving as a paid position, he was at home with his mother caregiving her. So it the heart is what leads them, thankfully, and we're grateful for them. But it comes from an experience, typically, whether it's concurrent or it's past experience.
Well, I am eager for Angie to share some of her truths and observations, and some other, I mean, just great lessons that you're learning. So what are some things that you came today really on your heart to share?
Well, for those people who are caregiving someone who has a terminal illness or they're not going to recover, it's very different than if you're caregiving for somebody who is supposed to make a full recovery. Mm-hmm. So you have another layer of emotional stress and drain on you. And I obviously, as any family member would, when you find out that your loved one has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, you go through a season of grieving, and you need to. Mm-hmm. You need to grieve. But you have a choice. Every single day that I wake up, I can either dwell on what my father has lost, or I can focus on what he still has. And I'm learning a lot about the brain, how God designed the brain. And I'm learning that how you choose to look at things, your perspective has a lot to do with how you live your life and the quality of your life. So the first thing that I would encourage caregivers with is spend some time grieving, but then when you're done grieving, when you need to be done grieving, and the Lord will show you it's time to move on, don't focus on the fact that they've lost the ability to speak. They've lost the ability to remember. Focus on what they still can do. Mm-hmm. If they still know who you are, celebrate that.
Mm-hmm. And you're really talking about person-centered care, and that term is so popular and so overused. You're illustrating person-centered care. It's really about focusing on where are they successful today.
Right.
And your recent blog I just read was, you know, kind of about movies. Now there's a movie. Kind of tell our audience a little bit about what that blog was about.
Right. You know, if I could climb inside my father's mind, I wonder what I would see. I would see fiction and nonfiction. And if we think of our minds as a collection of movie reels, and every reel has a memory on it, we replay them. Our brains replay them over and over. Some of them are from when we were five. Some of them were from last week. When you have Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, those reels get mixed up. They get spliced together. So my father will tell me something and it sounds right, and then he'll branch off into another memory that the details are a little shaky. And so initially I thought, oh no, I need to correct him. I need to tell him, you know, well, Dad, don't you think it's this? And I learned quickly that's the worst thing you can do, because it's their reality and you have to accept it. And it's not going to make any difference if he remembers the right detail or not. The most important thing is making him feel loved, accepted, and it doesn't matter if he's telling you, like sometimes my father will see something on TV and he'll position himself into the memory. One time we were watching Indiana Jones, and when Sean Connery was on the beach with the umbrella and all these birds were there and this airplane was flying, I think it was the Nazis, they were after them, he started taking this umbrella and opening it up and making sounds, and the birds flew up in the sky. And if you've seen the movie, you know what happens. The pilot doesn't make it. So about a day or a few days after my father had seen that, he begins to tell me how he was in that plane when that happened, and all these birds came. And on one level, you can be sad about that, but I wasn't, because, you know, it's okay. It's okay that he doesn't remember. And, you know, my mom and I have learned to laugh, not in front of him, but we've learned how to laugh and see enjoyment in that. Mm-hmm. And I know that he would understand that, because his mother had Alzheimer's and lived in a nursing home in Tennessee for 10 years before she passed away. And when my grandmother would do things, we would laugh and my father would laugh. Like one time, she and these were mountain people. They don't die until they want to die. And so
I have a grandmother like that.
So my grandmother, sweet woman of God, you know, not even 5 feet tall. And when she was in that nursing home, she thought that was her home. And there was a gentleman who, I don't know if he lived across the hall, but somewhere on the hall. And he had a habit of taking all his clothes off. And so he walked past her, and she got so mad that anyone would have the nerve to do that in her house that she decided to go over and spank him.
Took care of that.
So it's okay to laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Similar thing. We had a client who, she went around and turned off all the lights in the assisted living. Well, that's not good when you have frail seniors who are fall risk. But she wanted to make sure that we weren't burning electricity that she had to pay for. So love that. You know, I saw something on your blog, and I asked you if you would mind kind of closing us today with this prayer. Would you bless us with that?
Sure. If you are a caregiver, may God reach down from heaven, wrap his arms around you, and bless you beyond your wildest dreams with strength, encouragement, and peace like you've never known. He's done it for me. He will do it for you.
Oh, that's just an awesome prayer. And we just all say amen to that. Angie, how can people find more about your blog? Where can they go to read more about your wonderful lessons?
They can go to, it's just my name, angievineyard.com. So it's A-N-G-I-E, and then vineyard like wine, V-I-N-E-Y-A-R-D.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I just want to not leave without reminding everyone, our foundational scripture is Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And my passion and mission, personally, my calling, is to make sure that caregivers know that they've got resources. They've got help through support groups and agencies like our company. But ultimately, our greatest provision, our greatest resource comes from Jesus Christ himself. And I just loved how you said it today, is that if you seek him, make him your savior, but allow him to be Lord of your life.
Yes, make him your Lord.
Make him your Lord. He will walk through this journey of caregiving. He'll walk through that disease process with you. He is faithful and he is just. And we just love you all. We thank you so much. Have a wonderful week.